But first, comedian Cristela Alonso. She is on top of her game in her latest Netflix special, Middle Classy. Whether she's talking about her love of zombie movies, how she has enjoyed getting older, or learning to use health insurance for the first time, Cristela delivers a barrage of funny and smart jokes. She also reveals some fun facts about herself in Middle Classy. We learn that she is trilingual and that her teeth were so expensive that when she dies, she wants an open mouth casket. Cristela joined us from her home in Los Angeles to talk about Middle Classy and to fill us in on what's changed in her life since her previous special, Lower Classy.
The past couple of years, from Lower Classy to Middle Classy, I really got to be more comfortable and aware of who I am and speaking to so many people in the community. Community, I mean, not even just Latino, but like people that grew up lower income, people that grew up in poverty, people that, you know, just first generation immigrants in general, you know, there's just a connection that made me realize like, oh, you know what, where I am now is such a luxury for me that, you know, I think a lot of people take it for granted, the access to healthcare, being able to go to therapy, just being able to do things, getting glasses. You know, it's like this thing where so many people take it for granted because it's always been part of their life. But for me, I wanted to explain to people that it was a big deal for me.
I grew up in poverty. And now as an adult, I have money I never thought I had, you know? And now I go crazy. Hell yeah. Guess who buys bottled water? I go to Target, I buy regular price stuff. You peasants, go get your red tag clearance.
And we have this perception that when we grow up and we hit a certain age, we need to know and have access to everything. And, you know, we just assume that everybody does. But we understand, especially in the past couple of years, you know, in the media, we see that so many of us struggle.
Yeah. Very well said. One of the things you talk about in Middle Classy is your love of zombie movies. Can you tell us about that?
I do. You know, it's this thing. I love zombies. First of all, I always say that as a Mexican-American, like, I grew up eating barbacoa, which is like cow brains. And I always said, like, Mexican-Americans, like in my family, we've been training to be zombies. Like we've been doing it since day one.
Yeah, you know, so. You're early adopters. You're the pioneers of it.
But with the zombie movies, I love watching zombie movies. I'm obsessed with them. We know what's going to happen, but you still want to know how you get to that point, you know? And when I see it, I see these zombies and every zombie movie, though, there's always that scene where you realize, oh my God, there are zombies. And there's never just one zombie. We never have that moment in the movie where it's just the first zombie. When we realize there's zombies, there's always like 30 of them.
But to get to 30? How do we do that? And then I started thinking, oh, you know why? It's because we never show that scene in the movie where the assholes are walking around like, it's my right to get bit by a zombie. Ooh. Is my right as an American to get bit by a zombie? You're not supposed to pick how you die, stupid.
When the pandemic happened, I was a big supporter and still am of medicine and science, you know? And it was this thing where I couldn't understand that there were people that had gotten to this point where they decided that science and medicine was just a suggestion, you know? And it was this thing where you realize, like, that's what happened when I tied the pandemic to the zombie movies. The whole thinking was, you know, it's like, no one wants to be a zombie. Like, that's not the scene in the movie that you see, like, oh, it's my right as an American to be a zombie. Like, nobody says that, you know? So I thought it was a realistic way of saying it where you don't sound condescending, but it really kind of, the analogy makes sense. Because I think all of us have seen zombie movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a great analogy. Brilliant on your part to do that. That was very good. You mentioned in your special that you're trilingual. What languages do you speak? I think I know at least what two of them are.
I speak Spanish, English, and Caucasian. That's what I say. It's like, yeah. It's like English, but you use words that you're not used to. I use organic and deductible as examples. But there are some times where I'll talk to a friend, like friends of mine, and they'll use words, and I'm like, I don't know that word. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, not only the word, but the cadence, the way that they do it. It's, you know, I always say, like, with my friends, the ones I grew up with, I can say kind of like, hey, like, shut up. That was stupid, you know? And it's, you know, in Caucasian, it's like, wow, we're a little off track with that, aren't we? You know what I mean? It's same goal, different intonation. A lot of people call it code switching. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's the, right. this idea, you know. And I always say code switching when I speak about it and when I talk about it in interviews, because I want people to know I'm aware the term exists. I just think it's funnier when you use Caucasian, because Caucasian's just a funnier word.
Yeah, definitely, because it's got the K sound twice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, people don't realize that in stand-up, writing the joke, for me, like, writing the joke is... It's a science, right? And, you know, for me, like, when you write a bit and you try to think of a punchline... You always try to get the better word, right? So instead of, if you're going to use a joke about a bird, you don't say bird, you can use parakeet, because parakeet is funnier.
I had to learn English by watching TV shows like The Price is Right, you know, and white people, you messed with me. Plinko is not a real word. Screw you. I trusted you. I used to learn your words and I'd incorporate it in everyday life. I can't go today. I feel plinko. Turns out it wasn't a real word. I love that word. I want to name my kids Plinko, because that sounds Mexican. Plinko, ven pa acá.
So did you learn Caucasian when you went to college?
I did. I actually, you know, I grew up in a very predominantly Latino neighborhood. I mean, really, you know, here's how it was. In my high school, we had maybe, and I'm not kidding, three white students. And even if you weren't friends with them, you all knew who they were, you know, so it wasn't very diverse, you know. And then when I went to college, I went to college in St. Louis, Missouri. And the college that I went to was in this kind of like affluent area in St. Louis. And I realized I had no idea that even though we technically spoke the same language, we didn't.
Right. My freshman year, my roommate, she was from Tennessee. She hadn't met a Latina before. No one in her family had. Her mom was with her to drop her off, right? Her mom wasn't sure if I spoke English. We had been talking all day. So I don't know what she thought, like maybe I was just gonna forget, run out of English halfway through the day, you know, like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Are you sure? No, yeah, no, no, no. Trial expired, upgrade, no, out of order, no.
When we think of like someone like me, like a brown woman, we usually think, not even necessarily Latino, we think Mexican. It's kind of weird how for the longest time, you know, a lot of people's thoughts think that if you're brown, you're Mexican, Latino. And that just actually shows you what kind of exposure some people have. Some people might not know that about like Puerto Rico, Cuban, Dominican Republican, everything, you know, which is why when I talk about stand-up, I try to make it very specific about my life, because I don't like trying to make assumptions, these grand statements like, well, you know how we all do it, because we don't all do it like that. Uh-huh. You know, so it's like in order to be universal, you have to be specific.
Uh-huh. And plus, yeah, exactly. Yeah, to be universal and at the same time to sort of separate yourselves from the other, your fellow comedians by talking about your own story.
Absolutely, because that's the only thing that sets you apart.
Yeah, and you've led and continue to lead a very interesting life. So yeah.
I do.
Why would you do that? So there you go. Yeah, cow brains, everything. We've learned Caucasian, so many great things.
So many fun facts. Yeah. Oh, so many fun facts.
Yeah. Most people don't like growing older, but you actually love it. Why?
I love it. It's just, you know what it is? The moment, the older I get, the more comfortable I am with who I am. And I realized that when I was younger, You know, it's this idea that when you're in school, you want people to like you. There's this idea. And look, it's kind of, it's embedded in you. You're conditioned to think like that from all of the high school movies you grew up with. Right? It's always everybody wants to be hot, good looking, and popular. Right? There's no high school movie where they're like, man, let's talk about the academic decathlon team. Right? And I say that because I was in the academic decathlon team all 4 years in high school. Right? And to me, like, I thought I was cool for doing that. Right? But it wasn't I never sought to be the popular person. But at the same time, when you learn that being popular is like the thing or whatever, you want people to like you. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I was in my teens and then 20s, especially, I wanted everybody to like me, you know? And then if they didn't, I always thought it was my problem. I'm like, what did I do wrong? And then in my 30s, I started thinking, you know what? I don't need to be liked by everybody. I mean, we don't have to. We just have to kind of like, in a way, we kind of have to find our own tribe, right? Like, we got to find our own people. Now in my 40s, I'm like, you know what? I don't need anybody. I got plants to water. You know what I like about it? At 43, I'm not old, but I'm not young. Right in the middle. I kind of feel like I'm an iPhone 6. Yeah. I'm not the newest phone out there, but guess what? I'm affordable and I get the job done. Like, that's it. I was talking to a friend of mine a little while ago, and I was saying, there's nothing better to me than being in my apartment and just looking at my apartment and looking at my plants and not having to go anywhere and just enjoy being by yourself. I also just think that with age, it's such a sign of where you've come from and where you are. Like, what a great journey it is. There's something so great about that.
Definitely, yeah. It sounds like you're looking to start a hate group. Can you tell us a bit about
yes.
that?
Well, you know, the whole thing is people, there has been this, you know, increase in like hate groups, even though they might thinly veil themselves as not being that. Everybody else is like, you know, we're not dumb, right? Like, we know what it is. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, you know, we need to counter that. There is a movement. Like, we have a lot, we can identify certain groups that are like hate groups, but you don't really know who the hate groups are. And that is what I want to start, a group where we hate. Like, you have a group, you know, like the KKK that has been around for decades, forever.
I'm going to start a group, and it's a hate club. We hate. And we use brown sheets. So that they can be dirty and we're okay with it. Now I'm pitching it to you. Okay, because I'm still working it out. Okay, so it's a hate group. And it's for everybody, but it's only for Latinos. Okay. I call it the ke. Because every day I wake up, I watch the news, I'm like, ke. In Caucasian, that's what?
When James Corden announced he was leaving his late night talk show, you said you wouldn't mind doing it. And I think you would be fantastic. What kinds of things would you do on the Late Late Show with Cristela Alonso?
You know, I've thought about this. And let me say, I'm not very vocal when I want certain things, or at least I haven't been in the past. But when that was announced, I wanted to make it clear that I at least wanted to have the chance to meet with people, you know, in charge to see if, you know, just to let them know that I was interested. And to me, you know, like, I grew up watching the late night shows, you know, you watched not only like Johnny Carson and Letterman and Conan and stuff, but you also watched the Dick Cavett show. You used to, you know what I mean? There's so many shows with interviews. And one thing I've learned, the job of a late night host is to make sure that the guests look good. And that means you don't necessarily have to laugh at their jokes or what have you. You have to be interested in who you have on the show, which means that you don't necessarily need to have guests that are pushing the latest project, because sometimes the ones that aren't pushing it are still interesting as hell.
Mm.
That's how I approach it.
That's a good attitude, and that's what we need. Cristela Alonso, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on your special Middle Classy. It's Plinko.
Oh, I love it. Oh, thank you.
Cristela Alonso is a comedian, actress, writer, and producer. Her latest Netflix comedy special is Middle Classy. You can find out more about Cristela at wpr.org/beta.
He literally is just sort of harnessing the wellness movement and technology and creating these packages for people with the intent of getting them over their romantic past in various different ways.
Coming up, Sloane Crosley talks about her latest novel, Cult Classic. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.